All right, hey guys, it's Anthony Bandiero here, attorney and senior legal instructor for Blue Gold Law Enforcement Training. I bring you another webinar. Today, we're going to talk about anonymous tips, a very, very cool subject. I'm going to break it down for you so you really, really get it. I am a retired trooper slash sergeant out of Nevada DPS. I spent most of my time in Las Vegas. I also work for a smaller department in Elko, Nevada. Okay, beautiful place, but a little too small for a big city kid like me. So I ended up moving. I went to law school in Spokane, Washington. But now I am happy to say, I'm more than happy. I'm ecstatic to say that I am now broadcasting from our new studio that may be a little overkill from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. This place is, in my view, one of the most beautiful places in the world. And, you know, maybe I'm not enough world travel to say that, but I definitely, at least in the nation, it's really, really gorgeous. We have a few Idaho people here that can vouch for me that Coeur d'Alene is really an amazing place, and I'm just glad to be here in Idaho. Okay, so disclaimers real quick. Laws and agency SOPs, standard operating procedures may be more restrictive. Look, that's fine. I'm going to talk to you about what I think the Fourth Amendment is. It's my opinion. You are allowed to have your opinion. You know, a lot of this is based on case law, of course. But a lot of things, I'm just telling you that what I think are best practices, right? Not even remotely every issue has been decided by a court of binding authority. So I'm trying to teach you, hey, you know what? Let's make some good case law out there. Let's give the courts, you know, really good cases so they can uphold what you did and so forth. If you have any doubts about what you're doing out there, push it up the chain. This is important. It's important that you know what you're doing and have confidence, and you have your agency's backing in this day and age. You want them to support you and agree with you. And this course is legal education, not legal advice. I'm an attorney, but I'm not your attorney. So that just means that if I say anything in this webinar and your attorney's like, you know what, I know Anthony thinks that, but I want to do business this way. Well, I can assure you the person who's going to win is that attorney, okay? Because they have the job and they are the ones making those decisions. We're going to talk about, what's up, Justin? We're going to talk about unidentifiable tipsters. Identifiable tipsters dealing with homes and some takeaways. This is not, you know, this anonymous tips issue is not rocket science, but I do have some really good best practices so you can get these issues correct and that the court is going to uphold what you do. Now, the first thing is unidentifiable tipsters. Okay. Now, an anonymous tip, okay? A truly anonymous tip is somebody that, you know, you have no idea who it is, okay? Hold on one second. Okay. Hold on. Just answering a chat real quick. Okay. I got it. Okay, so anonymous tip is from, like, really the way to look at it, a truly anonymous tip is from somebody you do not know, you cannot really tell, you cannot track them down reasonably. If you have a truly anonymous tip, you're going to have to work a little harder to seize somebody with those tips, right? Because we don't want to seize anybody and detain them to investigate a crime when it's based on a truly anonymous tip, unless it's been corroborated and so forth. Now, a person who doesn't want to get involved or doesn't want to sign a citation or fill out a witness report, you know, a witness sheet or something like that, that person, in my view, is not really an anonymous tip. They are more like a confidential informant, and they fall under those rules. Okay, so let's just kind of go through both. Now, The main thing here, okay, if you're taking notes here, if you're teaching this to other people, if you're bringing this back to your agency, the main thing here is that a truly anonymous tip really requires corroboration, okay? Corroboration means inside information, something, they're telling you something that you do prove later, you can prove that it's true. They're telling you something that really the outside world wouldn't know, okay? You know, it's only on the inside, something specific about them. Now, the first seminal case in the space is going to be Florida versus Jardines. I'm sorry, Florida versus JL. Now, this we are playing around with AI. We're playing around with, you know, making little videos out of the case. It's not great. It's not perfect. It's light years ahead was a year ago. At least we have people, you know, that don't have three arms and their head's not sticking through the roof of the police car. But I hope you kind of appreciate what's going on here. Okay. So here's essentially what happened. Police received a truly anonymous tip that that this guy, he was a young black male with a plaid shirt. They described this kid. And also, when I say young, I mean under 21 type, like school age, right? Because that's important, because they're saying, hey, he has a firearm, okay? And presumably, being this young, you know, he cannot legally concealed carry that firearm. So that's kind of like, that is the crime that we're talking about here. So the officers get that tip. They said the tipster said that the young man was at a public transit bus stop. They see him sitting there. Like the tipster said, they detain him. They pat him down. They find the firearm. Now we're going to the U.S. Supreme Court. Okay, so you know, JL's argument is, hey, look, that's an anonymous tip. There's no cooperation. You know, this is not inside information. You know, basically, you know, all they said was that I had a firearm. Yeah, it ended up being true, but that's not how we work in the Fourth Amendment. We have to justify our actions initially. Was this a legit stop and frisk? Yes or no? Y or N? Put that in the chat. Y or N? Okay. All right. Good. The answer is going to be no. Okay. The answer is going to be no. And Larry says you need some kind of cooperation, right? The problem is that there is no cooperation. Oh, but Anthony, hold on. There is cooperation. He was sitting at the bus stop. That is not cooperation. That's not the kind of cooperation we are looking for. We're looking for inside information, right? At the end of the day, this is just a blanket accusation. And the problem with this case, really, the way I look at it is, if we allow this, if we permit this, it's a license to harass, okay? I will tell you that, I'll give you an example, okay? I was working in a, I was teaching in a very beautiful beach town in, the state doesn't matter, okay? And, Bruce, and these people that lived there in this very, again, very affluent location, they would see people that they thought did not belong in the neighborhood. Okay. And I want you to kind of get the impression that there's some racial profiling going on here, you know, by the residents. And so I had one of these officers, you know, come up to me during the break when I was teaching. He says, hey, look, you know, we get these calls all the time. Hey, there's this guy in my neighborhood. You know, I know he doesn't live here, type of stuff. And he said, you know, our chief, you know, requires us to make a detention because his viewpoint is, hey, if we have a caller, if we have a reporting party, an RP, then that's enough, you know, for reasonable suspicion. They're telling you the guy's acting suspicious. And I mean, it just, you know, your mouth drops. It's like, dude, you cannot do that, right? I mean, that's straight up, you know, selective enforcement based on somebody's, you know, maybe race or just there was no specific facts about why they were even engaging criminal conduct. It was just basis blanket. Hey, this person is suspicious. So this stuff does matter. And by the way, this was not, you know, somebody told me this in 1999. This was something that somebody told me in 2023. And I'm just telling you, like, you know, they were doing this constantly until I kind of fixed it. But the point is that we got to understand the rules, right? Just because somebody says, hey, that person is acting suspicious, the next question by dispatch or the cop that calls the RP is, all right, how? Why? Where is the so what? I mean, suspicious to you may not be suspicious to me. What is suspicious about this person? Well, I've never seen my neighborhood before. Well, it's a public street. People can walk wherever they want. Let's talk about Alabama versus White. This one gets a little weird, okay? So what happened here is this. So we have a caller. I'm sorry, an anonymous tip, okay? This is a 1990 case. That means it happened in the 80s, okay? And so what happened here is the caller said, and it was truly anonymous, let's just think like payphone, right? The caller said, look, I don't want to get involved. I'm not going to tell you who I am. But there is a female that lives in apartment like 303B in this complex. She's going to get into her tan her sedan, maybe like a hatchback, but she's going to get into her tan sedan. She's going to, around 1:30 p.m., she's going to have a brown briefcase filled with drugs. She's going to drive to Dobie's Motel to deliver those drugs. Okay. The police see this lady, who ended up being White. I think her Vanessa White. And she gets into that car that the caller said. She does not have the brown briefcase, but she was there around 1:30. She jumps in the car. She starts driving. She starts driving towards Dobie's Motel. They stop her. They go up to the car. Boom. When they see the passenger seat, that's like the drugs were the brown briefcase was already inside the car. Okay. They got consent to search the car. They found some drugs, and we kind of go from there. Based on these facts, did the officers have a reliable tip with cooperation to stop her and to investigate this tip? Yes or no? Tom, Brooks. Okay. All right. Some of you guys are Christopher and Chad. Please check your chat settings. Exactly. Okay. Okay, good. So Mike Brave, a very famous attorney, he said who appointed the judge. You can't, I mean, there is some truth in that answer, but the point is that this is definitely a cooperation, right? That is the inside information. That is the inside information. That is something that who in the heck would know, unless they have a crystal ball, would know that she was going to do all this at the time and so forth. And as the court said, what was important was the caller's ability to predict respondents, that's Vanessa, future behavior. Because it demonstrated inside information, a special familiarity with the respondent's affairs, the general public would have no way of knowing that the respondent would shortly leave the building, get into the described car, and drive the most direct route to Dobie's Motel. Okay. Okay, so now let's talk about this case. Here is what happened. So basically what happened here is this kid, this 14-year-old, he called 911 and he said, look, there's some kids over across the street. Okay, he's at McDonald's. They're over, I saw them and they're out there playing with guns. Now, the neighborhood is this is a picture from the neighborhood. The neighborhood is high crime. It's in Indiana. Why that matters is their gun laws are pretty pro gun there. Open carry is allowed. It has always been a shell issue, concealed carry state. And so anyway, so the dispatcher's like, all right, where are you at, young man? Oh, I'm at the McDonald's across the street. I went over here and he said, you know, I borrowed a customer's phone. And I promise to try to stay close. Okay. So the cops did not go to the McDonald's. They did not talk to this kid. Instead, they went straight to the parking lot. There was that. So the kid also said that they're standing near a gray and greenish charger. I know you guys are cynical. Oh, chargers, automatic, reasonable suspicion for something. Just bear with me. They were hanging out by that charger. They were just like, you know, they were not kids, they were actually adults. They were listening to some music. They were just hanging out, you know, mind their own business. In other words, if it wasn't for, you know, this call, the cops would have saw these young men and just kept on driving, right? Well, instead, they detained them, they pat them down, they end up finding two illegal firearms. Okay, based on what I just told you, charges of the new Crown Vic. Based on what I just told you, are we good? Was this a good detention, yes or no? For those people who are not watching us live, you're missing out because we have some very funny people in the crowd. Okay. Ryan says public safety doctrine. I want to talk about that. That's actually a good rebuttal. It's not going to work, but I do like you throwing it out there because it is something that they can try to argue. Okay. It's not going to work. All right. Let's just kind of see what helps us and what hurts us. Okay. What helps us? Proper motive. Okay. There's no reason to believe that this kid is trying to get other people in trouble for a bad motive. Detailed description of the vehicle. First information, you know, he saw it with his own eyes, right? It wasn't like it was a telephone game that somebody else saw, and now they're sharing it. Contemporaneous, that means here and now. And finally, it was a high crime area. The court should give you a little slack on that. What is going to hurt us? No future harm, okay? It just, courts will give you some more latitude when they believe that somebody could get hurt if you don't take action, okay? Phone cannot be traced. I believe that that is fatal in many ways. It's not the it's fatal in a sense of we have a truly anonymous tip, okay? So what we have here is because we don't really know, you know, who this kid is, I think the courts would be convinced that this falls more like Florida versus JL than Alabama versus White. Because just saying, hey, kids out there have, you know, some young men, some boys are out there playing with guns, that is more of an accusation with nobody to, you know, to help prove that the person's liable. No other crimes alleged. Here's the deal. Open carry is not illegal in Indiana, okay? It's not illegal to show a firearm to another person in public. Yeah, is it stupid? I mean, I'm a gun owner, and I, you know, I would not pull out my firearm, my concealed carry gun, and show it off to a person at McDonald's or whatever. I just wouldn't do it because I don't want the cops called on me. And I don't want that kind of, you know, that kind of criticism, right? And so forth, and scare people. But is it necessary illegal? Probably not. No weapons seen upon arrival. So now, a very good counter argument is the whole public safety exception. Now there is a public safety exception, but it has to be something extremely pressing. It has to be something like, hey, if you guys do not act, something very, very bad is about to happen. Think active shooter, okay? You know, think sexual assault, but not going to be just a brandishing case. Matt says, hey, if you want to meet at the – hey, this is – I'm in Idaho. So if you want to meet me at the Walmart parking lot, game on, because we can do that kind of stuff here. You know what I mean? No more Washington State for me. Okay, so here's what happened. I would put that on the YouTube. Teresa, exactly. Josh can just stop by. Hey, Teresa, if we get a person who wants to meet me personally to collect their firearm, and we show it as, you know, can we take some footage of it, like being like almost like a seedy, you know, criminal activity, like we're, you know, we're looking around and so forth, and the cops come and we start hiding. Let's put that on the YouTube channel. I think that'd be right. And Josh is game. I mean, Josh is an Idaho cop and he wants to come down and be part of the fun. Yeah. Hey, look, I got to tell you, man, Idaho is just off the hook. So they do stuff like that and they don't care. Okay. They're honey badgers. So this guy, you know, sees this cop and he goes up to him. He says, hey, there's a patron in the bar who has a firearm concealed. Now, this is a Texas case. It is illegal to have a firearm in a bar in Texas. Josh, is it illegal to have a firearm in a bar in Idaho? What's the rules there? Okay. And so the cop, okay, here, you know, he's talking to the reporting party, okay? And then he goes into the bar and he sees a bulge in the guy's waistband consistent with the firearm. I mean, it wasn't printing. It wasn't like you saw the outline, but it was good enough, right? I mean, the reporting party plus this, and he detained the guy, and they found that this was a lawful detention. Because, you know, first of all, you don't have a truly anonymous tip. You're actually talking to the person. Interesting. And then it's you don't have a truly anonymous tip. That's the first thing. And you see some kind of cooperation. So we're good there. Okay. Now, Let's talk about the okay. So in Florida versus JL, they did have some what's called dicta, right? Dicta means just comments that are not necessary for the holding of the opinion. Okay, you know, JL was about the kid at the bus stop, you know, blah blah blah. But they did say that there could be a situation where the anonymous tip could be acted upon, you know, because of like a public emergency. Okay, and so. But this is only going to be, this is going to be a very, very like serious case. Okay, it's not going to work for the branching case, but it would. I think it would work if the anonymous tipster says, "Hey, there's a guy in the street corner, and he's gonna attack the school once it lets out." Yeah, look, I think we're gonna have to take care of business. Okay, I think we're going to have to you know, detain a person temporarily to find out, you know, hey, look, we're getting calls about you, and people are saying that you're an imminent threat. So there is this like public safety exception, but there's not a lot of case law on it, and so you're kind of making case law, but we really want to make sure that we're justifying it. And Michael says he'll fly up to Idaho to collect his gun. Michael, can you at least look at the gun first? Because after I show it to you, you may find yourself saying, that may actually not be worth it. I mean, it ain't going to be the Uzi behind me or some of the toys I have on the back. All right. Hey, you guys are my kind of crowd, right? What if I gave you a high point? Can I buy some high points? You guys be happy with that too? I mean, hey, look, a throwaway piece, I guess. I think the high point, did you know they actually have a high point that you can buy it and it actually comes with a serial number already scraped off? Do you guys know that? Did you see that one? Right? They call it the burner. Not, they had the Yeet Cannon edition, but they just have the burner. It's just called the burner. Yep, that's kind of cool. All right. Actually, we should have some blue to gold. Okay. An unidentified caller stated that a Nissan Altima, along with a partial plate, was being driven by a drunk driver. The cop found the vehicle, but observed no violations. All right. Well, this is, you know, would this qualify as that public emergency? Okay. Would that qualify as the public emergency? We're going to talk about a case called Neverett. Some cases said yes, and some cases said no. Okay. This one said no, but some courts have also upheld them under as emergencies. Now, you're going to find out, though, that we may not actually need a public emergency anymore if they call 911. We're going to talk about that. So what the court said in Thompson is that an investigatory stop is a well-established exception to a search or seizure conducted without a warrant. When an anonymous tip is conveyed through a 911 call and contains sufficient information to trigger public safety concerns and to provide an ability to identify the person, a police officer may undertake an investigatory stop. So they're looking for identification here. Now, I got to write down a note real quick. So, all right. So now let's kind of look, that case is a little old. Let's actually talk about a case that's very, very important to 2025, and let's talk about that's a compliment, Brooks. A blunderbuss with autographs. And hey, look, I can come up with that, and that's not even a firearm. That ships a blunderbuss goes right to your door, my friend. Goes right to your door. Okay, an identifiable tipster may supply reason to detain if the tipster is reliable and has a basis of knowledge. Okay, so this is very, very important. Okay. Now, generally speaking, courts look at these tipsters under totality of the circumstances, okay? That's Illinois versus Gates. However, courts still put a lot of emphasis on these two factors, whether or not they are a totality of circumstances court or they're a two-part test court. Okay, there are still some two-part test courts out here that require this, but the vast majority, like almost all of them, they just look at the totality of circumstances. But I want you to ask two questions. Number one, why should you even trust this person? Why should you give this person the time of day? Why? Number two, okay, fine. They seem to be reliable. How do they know what they know, right? I mean, are they? Did they invent this? Did they say that they had a bad dream last night that Anthony was a criminal? So we want to, you know, we want to prove those two things. Okay, this is very important. And when you write your reports, I really want you to think about this. Number one is, who is reliable? Well, prior contacts. This is a very, very common way of proving reliability when we're talking about, like, especially like your confidential informers, your CIs, right? So here was a case in essence, you know, Adams versus Williams. What happened here was this guy, you know, a person who involved in some criminal activity, but knew the police officer. The police officer knew him. The police officer stated that he has been reliable in the past. And he went up to the cop and, I guess, walking the beat. That's kind of like what I picture here. But the cop was told, hey, there's a guy around the corner in this car, and he's trying to sell drugs from his car, and he also has a gun in his waistband. Okay, so the cop, you know, kind of says goodbye. He goes around the corner. Boom, he sees that guy, right? And, you know, in the car, he taps on the window type deal. He reaches in. He pats him down on his waistband. He feels the firearm. He pulls out the firearm. He arrests him accordingly. Now, it seems, right, at first blush, this case really looks eerily similar to who? To what? It looks like JL. But there's something different here. The difference is that he actually knows the person, okay? The cop knows the person from prior contacts. That's right, Brooks. He's a tested informer, okay? Number two is cooperation. Remember, cooperation is always, always, always relevant if it exists, right? I'll do the musket, but that cavalry sword might be going a little too far. So here's a case where a neighbor, not vetted, doesn't know the cop. The cop doesn't know the neighbor, but goes up to the cop and says, hey, this guy sitting on the porch, he has a firearm in his waistband. Now, the cop, absolutely, Brooks, 100%. You don't even have to ask. The cop knows this guy. His moniker is Mookie. Now, first of all, if your name is Mookie, you're destined for trouble. Okay, I mean, that's not. There's just no way out of it. There's just no way. There's nothing good that can come from a moniker like that. Okay. First of all, I think you're like a laughingstock of your fellow gang members. But I digress. So, the cop goes up to Mookie. He sees again like a bulge in the guy's waistband, consistent with what could be a firearm, but it also could be a cell phone, right? And he then pats him down. He finds a firearm. Mookie's a felon. We go from there. Now, the court is going to say, number one is, hey, first of all, this guy, this neighbor is unvetted, but they're presumptively a reliable person. But number two is there was also some cooperation. Okay? Okay. Good. Okay. The Mookie name is Mookie's PC. I mean, I couldn't imagine. Okay. Disinterested citizen. Okay. Now, the neighbor is a disinterested citizen, but we also had some cooperation there. So why not add it there? It's just another factor. But I think the most common disinterested citizens that we get here are your drive-thrus. I shouldn't say the most common. A very common way is that these people call 911, you know, hey, there's a guy at Taco Bell, you know, he's drunk. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, so you know you already probably have PC there. And the courts are going to uphold this, right? Because they're an identifiable citizen and they're a presumed reliable. So the next thing you have to ask, though, is, all right, you always ask the so what, okay? You always ask the so what. Fine, Burger King worker, Taco Bell worker, presumptively, you know, I don't believe you're lying to me, but where's the so what? And here's why I bring this up, okay? Because how many times have you guys gotten a call for service from a citizen who's presumptively reliable? They're not looking to, you know, to lie to you, presumptively, but they say things that are not illegal, right? When I was a cop in Vegas, the whole suspicious person thing, right? The person's being suspicious. Okay, what is suspicious? Are they looking into windows? Are they jiggling door handles on cars? Sometimes we get calls. There's a person in the Walmart with a firearm. He's open carrying a firearm in the Walmart, and it's like, this is Nevada. And I'm like, let me just kind of guess. You're from California. How'd you guess, right? Because you're calling about a firearm, right? So who? I like to say the so what factor. So yes, even if you can believe them, don't forget the so what factor. We don't detain people just because they don't like something. Now, somebody in here, okay, who was it that talked about the consensual encounter? Something like the person said like something about, often a consensual encounter will do, right? Words of wisdom, okay? I cannot tell you how many times I have seen stops gone bad, okay? Illegal detentions, no reasonable suspicion, hunches, whatever it is. And it all could have been fixed with the same outcome would have occurred. They would have still given consent. They would have still ran from you and dropped the gun, right? And it all could have been fixed by the consensual encounter, right? Yeah, Brooks, where are you at? Are you in Ohio? No. Yeah, we just went constitutional carry. Yeah. Oh, South Carolina. Okay. That's great. I love constitutional carry. Okay. I'm not sure. I totally understand. What's SAR? E-Guardian SAR? What is that? Oh, suspicious activity report? Oh, that's the. Explain that to me. Okay, 911 calls. So, the terror tips. Gotcha. Thank you. Okay. Right. Exactly. Okay. So let's talk about very, 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 very famous case. Okay, famous in a sense, at least our conversation for today. That's all. It's famous for our conversation. Basically, what happened here is this person, this female, she got ran off the road. Okay, and she called up 911. She reported it. And basically, the case is a tad complicated with the background facts. I do know the backstory here, but at the end of the day, the way I want you to look at this is that the caller did not want to get involved. Okay, they don't want to sign a citation. They don't want to go to court. They're just telling you, hey, this guy ran me off the road. This is what his truck looks like. This is his license plate. He might be a drunk driver. Showing southbound Highway 1 at mile marker 88, silver Ford pickup. Plate of XYZ 12123 ran the RP off the roadway and was last seen approximately 5 ago. Well, CHP saw that vehicle approximately 10 minutes later. They got behind it. They followed it while waiting for a backup unit. And I don't know why they were waiting for a backup unit, but hold on 1 second. I'm giving the information. Is Zach Miller here? Hold on. Am I? No, he is here. Okay. Thanks, Zach. All right. So Zach is going to join me for the Search and Seizure show afterwards. He's going to help answer some questions. So the officers pulled the truck over. They did not see any independent violations. As they're walking to the vehicle, they smelled like an overwhelming odor of raw marijuana. They lifted up a tarp in the back of the vehicle. They saw like 30 pounds of, marijuana. This is untaxed marijuana in California, probably. It's probably not even a crime. It's probably just untaxed. Okay. That's what they want. They want their money. And they charge him accordingly. And he says, you know what? Bad stop. Well, the Supreme Court is going to establish what a lot of people call the 911 exception. Okay. The 911 exception. When it comes to anonymous tips, the 911 exception. So, here's kind of what helps us, okay? Number one is a proper motive. There's no reason to believe that this caller is trying to get this person in trouble for, hey, my ex-boyfriend is drunk. You gotta be careful of those cases. I'm not saying you can't act on them. Detailed description of vehicle, it helps. First-hand information, hey, I saw it. It happened to me. It's not, hey, the husband calls and says, my wife was ran off the road. Contemporaneous, it's here and now. It's not like it happened this morning and now we see the guy on the drive home. Future location predicted. I do want to warn you though that's fine. That helps put it in the basket, But that is not cooperation, right? That still is kind of like a jail situation where you just telling, hey, a car on the road is drunk or whatever is not enough for cooperation. It's something though. Future harm. We do recognize that, that the courts are going to always give you a little latitude when you're dealing with future harm, can be charged with a false report. That is really, in essence, what's going on with this 911 exception. At the end of the day, the Supreme Court is saying, hey, look, if we pulled over that vehicle and we found out this was all false and so forth, could we charge that caller with a false report? Yes, we could subpoena subscriber information. We could then charge the person and be like, hey, you called the 911 on this person who's your ex-boyfriend. This is the third time you've done it this week. You're going to be charged. An excessive time did not elapse before the stop. Okay, now what about the basis of knowledge? What about, well, you know, what about yeah, that does suck. Now, Idaho is a weird place, though, by the way, which is kind of interesting. Idaho has a very progressive streak at its Supreme Court level, okay? So there, that might be part of what's kind of going on there with Josh. It's kind of weird. Idaho is a little weird when it comes to their Supreme Court. Okay. How do we trust the person? Past information, you know, past workings with the person, cooperation, the witness, presumptively the citizen, uninvolved citizen, and so forth. The 911 exception. Now, where is the so what? Okay, what are you reporting? What is illegal about what they're doing? Well, first-hand observations is going to be number one because they've seen it with their own eyes. Or again, you have some cooperation. I like to say that is the crystal ball exception, right? You have this person who says, you know what? There's going to be, you know, I work, you know, I do a lot of drugs. And I'm telling you, man, word on the street, there's a big load coming into town. What do you know about it? I don't know. All these people are saying is that it's a F-150 red and white in color with Arizona plates. And I think the load's going to go down at the Exxon station tomorrow afternoon. Okay, well, you cannot, I mean, you know, that's how do you know it? I don't know, man. I'm just telling you, like, I think I have a premonition. And then you see that vehicle at 1:30 at the Exxon station. That is cooperation. Okay. Caller, there's a guy out here beating up his girlfriend. He's about to kill her. He also has a gun. He's on Grove and like William Street. Okay, what is he wearing? He's wearing a red hat with braids and he's beating her up. He's beating her up really bad right now. I want to break it up. You know, I don't want to do nothing. Hey, look, you don't want to get involved with a guy with a gun. Hold on. Police are on the way. Click. The caller hangs up. So the police arrive within like a minute. They happen to be very close. And they see the couple, you know, the description, the braids, the red hat, and so forth. They see them walking down the street, okay, on the sidewalk. If it wasn't for this call, then, you know, they probably just keep on driving, right? So, the cop detained them. They patted down the male. They found the firearm, and the court is going to uphold him. Why? Number one is contemporaneous. Okay, it's a here and now. Two, first-hand information. Three, accurate description. Just that helps. Proper motive. There's no reason. In fact, it screams proper motive because the caller wants to get involved. That's how bad it is. Future harm. The caller can be traced. Right. This is more like Neverett than it is like jail. And finally, only 1 minute elapsed before the stop. Okay. So let me do a quick commercial break. I hope that you're finding some information useful. All my instructors, me, Zach, Mike Boone, John Ween, all my instructors that do these webinars take a lot of time away from their family and their own personal life to do these. So I hope you guys appreciate what we're doing here. Do me a favor. If you want to show us a little love, then I'm going to ask you a favor. It's the social media. Okay. We Teresa, our social media manager, puts a lot of hard work into social media. And just please, whatever your conduit is, whatever your, you know, medium of choice, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Please make sure that you're signed up for that. The YouTube channel has over 1,000 videos. We just published a bunch of videos with me and Zach Miller. So it's awesome, right? We really work OnlyFans. We actually, Teresa, is our OnlyFans ready to go up yet? Okay. It's private. Well, I don't want to be private. I want to make that money, y'all. Okay. So now, look, just when it comes to OnlyFans with guns, actually, that's not a bad idea. That's not the worst idea I've ever heard of, by the way. Maybe people feel sorry for me. Just give me a few bucks. Okay. So when it comes to anonymous tips with homes and so forth, you got to be kind of careful, right? It is clear that police may enter a dwelling without a warrant to render emergency aid and assistance to a person they reasonably believe to be in distress and needed that assistance, but do not mess around with the home, okay? You need to have specific facts. A warrant is not required to break down a door to enter a burning home to rescue occupants or extinguish a fire to prevent a shooting or to bring emergency aid to an injured person. The need to protect or preserve life or avoid serious injury is justification for what would be otherwise illegal absent an exigency or emergency. Okay. Okay. Now let's talk about this case. What happened here is a female. Well, actually, I'm sorry. I believe some neighbors called and said, hey, these guys are going at him. Okay. And the wife and the husband, they both come out of the home. Okay. And the wife seems, you know, a little hysterical. Now, this is a truly anonymous tip, okay? And, you know, the wife was crying and so forth. The husband was right there. There was no evidence whatsoever that anybody else was hurt, that there was anybody else involved in this case. But the police went into the trailer or whatever. They went into the trailer anyway to kind of just make sure, you know, that everything was okay. Do you see the problem there? Do you see the problem? Do you see the problem of entering homes just to make sure that everything is okay? Okay. So we don't go into homes to make sure. Okay. We go into homes because we have objective facts to believe that an emergency exists, right? So there was no cooperation. The anonymous tip was accurate. There was no reason to believe there was anybody else in that house that was in danger and so forth. Let's do some takeaways. Okay. So number one is articulate. Number one, you know, look at those. Hey, why should we believe this person? The person who just called 911. Why should we even trust this person? Oh, we know who they are. They have a cell phone that has subscriber information. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to sign a citation. They don't want to sign a witness state. They don't want to go to court. Okay, fine. But we do know who they are. Number two is, how do they know what they know, right? What makes their observations show that something illegal is occurring, right? Not the whole suspicious person stuff. Okay, that's you know, we're going 10-8, right? But what about the stuff that they're, you know, the guys, you know, looking into cars and all this kind of stuff? If true, a public safety risk. The courts are always receptive to a public safety issue, and cooperation is vital. It's not necessary, okay? There was no cooperation. There was no cooperation in the Neverett case, okay? That was not cooperation. However, there was those two factors. We can trust the caller, and what they are saying would indicate criminal activity, which is the DUI. Now, somebody is asking what program we use for AI, and I don't know. I don't know. I know we just purchased it, but I forget what it is. I'm sorry. My graphics guy knows. So I actually don't know the answer. We get the photos. We get the original photos from ChatGPT, but then we use a program to turn it into a little short movie. And I do not know what that program is. Okay. So here's the deal. Okay. We are going to do a quick trivia. We're going to give away some prizes. We're going to give three prizes away, books, shirts, challenge coins, so forth. And then we're also going to do a little call-in show with my friends, Zach Miller and one of my co-instructors. So, but I need your help, okay? I got to tell you, guys, I am really trying to improve, what's kind of going on around here, right? I'm really trying to just really change the game of search and seizure, but also I'm also working with a company for an AI report writing app. Can you just help me real quick answer these questions? I'm telling you, it just really helps me a lot. Okay. And be honest, guys, just give me if there's anything we can improve, please be honest. Maybe I went too fast. Maybe I went too slow. Maybe some of the cases don't make sense. All right. So Tamara says, does that change if ShotSpotter is thrown in a scenario? If a neighbor calls and says, I heard shots, ShotSpotter registers shots, the homeowner is not going to admit to a dead body inside the home. Yes. So look, by the way, a lot of these, we need to answer these questions. Actually, hold on. Tamara, will you hold on so I can get Zach Miller on the line? So I want to hear his viewpoint too. It's a really good question, and I don't want to, it's an opportunity for us to actually answer it together and give you some really good practice points. Okay, while you guys are answering the free webinar, Dominique does have a question about today's... sure. So Dominic says, if you have an anonymous RP and the number is provided, can you use a database to find information of the RP? The answer is yes, but just call that a never rest situation. Call that the 911 exception, right? If they called 911, right? I mean, are they calling 911 or you somehow they, I don't know. I think that's how you got it, right? So the answer is yes, because the, Josh, I don't know why you don't need cause to run people in a database. That may be a policy restriction, but that's not a search and seizure issue. It's not a Fourth Amendment issue. Cases don't get dropped because you run people through databases. That's a good question. Okay. All right, cool, man. You guys are answering the question. I do appreciate it. I'm seeing these questions. I'm not reading them yet, but I'm seeing these questions come in. Okay. All right. Let's do some, make sure you guys have us on social media while you guys are answering the poll. All right. This is the, if you take this QR code, this will sign you up directly, I believe, with YouTube. It'll actually you can accept the subscription. All right. Teresa, anything to add before we move on? AI scares me. Look, it's going to put some of us out of a job. Okay. Look, AI should scare you. I mean, look, when the Tesla robot comes out, what is that? What's the robot name? What's the robot's name in the Tesla robot? Not Odyssey. That robot is probably going to put us all out of a job, right? I mean, it's going to teach, it's going to fight crime. It's going to be, it's going to be the T-1000. Okay. Wally. Okay, guys, let's do some trivia while we're kind of wrapping up this webinar. Number one is your answer can only be in one reply, right? The gun is not yet. We don't have the software yet to do the gun yet. So that's not today. That's going to be hopefully next week or the week after. So we don't have the gun yet. Okay? All right? All right. Send the chat to everybody. Okay? Okay. Send the chat to everybody. Make sure that everybody can see it. I think most people are good on this, but a few of you guys ended up having panelists only. Wait for the timer before you send the answer. That's probably the biggest issue. We have a timer so that everybody has a chance to type their answer. And you cannot have one before. We're lifting that. That's not true. We don't care. If you've won before, you can win again. All right. All right. Now, this one is a little bit of a curveball, okay? This is not about today's class, but this is an opportunity for everybody, even if you weren't taking notes, to maybe try to find the right answer. I will give you a heads up. This will take internet research, okay? You will have to search the internet and see if ChatGPT will be your friend here. What case held that an aerial photography of an industrial complex from public navigable airspace does not constitute a Fourth Amendment search, okay? What is that case where the Supreme Court said it was okay to use high-tech, hold on, Mike, you don't know the rules, okay? It has not been 10 seconds. Hold on, ready, and after Sal. Okay, Daniel Diaz. Now look, you could have, by the way, Mike, that doesn't mean, did you actually at least try? You didn't lose, okay, you did try. Okay, you don't lose your opportunity to try again. You just can't do it so quick. All right, the Dow Chemical case. Daniel, email Richard at bluetogold.com. Okay, Daniel, email Richard at bluetogold.com and say, hey, I won last night. You guys, you got me? And he'll give you some instructions to get your prize. Okay? And Teresa, can you also track who the winners are so that you give that to Rick so that we have accounting on this? Oh. Okay? You're welcome, Daniel. Okay, Daniel, are you good? Richard at bluetogold.com. All right. The next one is going to be good. Okay. The next one is going to be relevant to the class we had today. Okay? Okay. All right. Don't answer the question, okay? Not yet. What case established a 9-1 exception for anonymous tips? Don't answer it. Wait for the timer. Okay, Mike, you got that one. Nice job. So Mike Katz got that one. That's never it. The last one. Okay, Mike, you know the rules, right? Email Richard at bluetogold.com. Okay, the last one. You ready? The last one. What are the two factors that you should articulate when detaining someone based on a tip? What are those two factors? Don't send it. Don't send it. Not yet. Okay, the person after Mike Bliss. Hold on. The person after Mike Bliss. Where's Mike Bliss? Huh. Okay, the person after. So the person after Mike Bliss is Brian Gouge. So that's who I think won. Look, you got to trust me on this. I do the best job I can. But Brian, I believe you are the winner. I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm sorry. Did you even get that right? I'm sorry. Hold on. No. No, Brian, I'm sorry. What are those two factors? No. You just gave me a case name. Oh, shoot. I'm all jacked up. Teresa, do you have any idea who the answer is who's reliable and why should you trust them and what do they know? Do you know who won? Josh, you're saying Patrick? Josh, are you saying Patrick? Okay. So Patrick Kaiser. I'm going to take what Josh just told me, okay? Patrick Kaiser, sorry about that. Neverett is not the answer. It's those two factors, okay? Sorry about that, Brian. You know? All right. Guys, I appreciate you. Here's the last thing. And for those people who are watching us on the recording, we're gonna do a quick show. We don't have to be here for too long, but stick around just for a few minutes. And I actually agree. So Brian, email Richard at bluetogold.com and say, send me a challenge coin. I got you because I made that mistake. And you know what? Well, I'll meet you halfway. Okay. All right. So Brian, you got me? So email Richard at bluetogold.com and I'll give you at least a coin. Maybe Rick will be generous and give you more than that. You're welcome. Okay. Guys, thank you so much. If you want to bring me, Zach Miller, Jake Bigelow, John Ween, we got Chris McFarlane, Nick German. We have a ton of guys. So if you want to bring us out and teach your agency, whether it's a closed training where we train your whole agency or a segment of it, open training, just want to host, let us know. Right? Email training at bluetogold.com. Again, training at bluetogold.com. com. Okay? Okay. I really appreciate you guys being here. Let me end the recording for those who are watching online, and we're going to get into a live show. Thank you, guys.